of Psalms, Psalm 78. The title could be Dad, the Difference Maker, but often I thought about maybe calling it Dad, Deadbeat, or Dynamic, and so I'm not sure which one I'm going with. So hopefully today you'll come with an idea of what God wants you to be and how God wants you to act. And really, as you read this text, it's good for dads, but really good for all people to recognize that God's called us to be that faithful people that leave a legacy that calls others to know the Lord. So let me read to you out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 78. Here's what it says. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known them to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It might not be as their stubborn fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that have not set their hearts aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Father, we come before you to say thank you, Lord, again for Father's Day and what it means and those godly men that have gone before us. Lord, I pray that we would stand up not just as Father, but as your people, Lord, to leave a legacy behind us, to share the Word of God, to live the Word of God, and to cause others to do the same. Lord, I pray for me this morning, Lord, that you give me words to speak, that you give me clarity of voice that all could hear and understand. Thank you, Lord, for that promise again when that word is read and when I come back void. We ask all this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I heard when the story went that when God was making Adam, man, he did a good job. He made all there was to make in the first 5 days. When he got to the sixth day, he made Adam. And there was Adam. And Adam said, I really need some help. And so the Lord says, here's what I'm going to do to you, man. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the best, we're going to call her woman, the best woman ever. She is not going to nag you. She's going to cook, clean, wash dishes, iron your suits, man. You ask and she will say, yeah, I'm telling you, she's going to be fantastic. Adam said, oh, that is great, Lord, but what's that going to cost me? He said, well, it's going to be pretty expensive. A right leg, a right arm, a right ear, and a right eye. He said, oh, man, what can I get for a rib? Amen. Laugh while you can, man. Amen. Laugh while you can. Well, I think it is Father's Day. We like to joke a little bit and recognize that, but God has called us to be a dynamic people to really make a difference. And I think when dads really stand up and follow God's word and follow God's will, how it changes not just your family, but everything around you. So here's some great truths from God's word that I think we need to apply to our life as men, but also just in general as the people of God. Here's the first thing. We must proclaim the perfect word to our children. We must proclaim the perfect word to our children. He starts off in verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. And I've got to camp there just for a moment. It is the idea that this law is the word of God, and we must possess a priority for the word like never before. We must possess a priority and a desire to have the word of God shared like never before. We need to recognize how God desires that for our life. You say, why is that? Well, one, the word of God is inspired. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says this. For the prophecy, that's the word of God, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is God's revelation to man. It is his words for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We need to recognize today when we come and read the word of God, when we come and preach the word of God, when we teach the word of God, it is God's revelation for us. It gives us hope and life like never before. And so we understand how important that is. It is the word of God. Again, this word gives us great direction and correction for our life. I just read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, but let me read the whole scripture. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, the word of God tells us right and wrong, and we need like never before. It's a mixed up world today that they think that all these things are right when the word of God says they're wrong. How terrible that is. And so we must have that word in us. Like the psalmist said in Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need that word. It gives us direction. But it also gives us life. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, holding forth the word of life. You say, why is that? Because the word points to the life giver. It is the word that shows us who Christ is. And that word, the Lord Jesus, has come to give us an abundant life, it says in John 10:10. The word gives us life, but it also gives us hope. The psalmist said in 119:114, that thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word. Psalms 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and is his hope do I, in his word do I hope. Show me a person that does not trust in the Lord, and I'll show you a person with no hope. Show me a person with no hope at all, and I'll show you a miserable human being. As a pastor, I get to deal with all kind of people. And I'm telling you, those that love the word, those that love the Lord, those that are in his word, man, what a difference it makes in their life. And with that same tune, I've seen those without it, and oh, how terrible that is. We need hope like never before. And the word points to one who can do all things, which gives us this great hope. And so the word is there for us, but there is a problem with the word. Listen to me, there's a problem with the word. And the problem is, it is not shared as it should be. Notice verse 2. He says, I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old. Now he's speaking about the word of God. He's speaking about those things that were done by the Lord that we need to know. And so he calls them dark sayings. And it's not, don't get this wrong, he's not saying dark as an evil. He's not saying I will offer up evil incantations. That's not what he's speaking about. What he's saying is that something's been closed up, something's been hidden, and he wants to open up now. He wants to share that which was previously closed down. I think about our nation today, how we've tried to take the word out of the schools and how to take the word out of this place and out of that place and out of the halls of Congress. We've tried to take the word, and sooner or later it's going to be a dark saying because no one is speaking the word of God. I'm here to tell you today that we surely will. And so we're going to be faithful when it comes to utter what God's word says. So the psalmist says, I will utter. The problem is, how can we utter those words if we don't know them? How can we share the things that we don't know? Verse 3 says, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. And so how do we know the word of God? Well, we got to get back and remember some things. First, we need to remember our fathers' teachings in verse 3. That is our foundation. Before any of us could read, I was not born reading and neither were you. But before we could read, our parents, our fathers told us about the Lord and his word. We need to be a foundation there. I can remember my godly father and grandfather. I can remember my granddaddy, especially Cleon Copeland. He's a godly man, has gone and be with the Lord, probably the godliest man I've ever met. I can remember spending the summers with him, and every single morning I would wake up, I would find him and my grandmother in their living room reading the Word of God. That made an impact on me. That's been a long time ago now, and I still remember those days. We need to be a faithful people and have a foundation that shares with others about good things. We need to recognize how important that is to those come behind us. And so we need to remember our Father's teaching, but also remember and read what is written ourselves. We ought to take some time every day and read God's word. And I know you say, well, preacher, you got it made. You don't have nothing to do. You know, they say a preacher only works one day a week, and then you complain when he works too long, amen, 5 minutes, and like, what in the world? But let me just tell you, I think it's important to read the word of God. And you say, well, you got all day to read. Let me tell you, I get up at 5:30 every morning, and the first thing I do is I find me a spot I got a spot with a couch with a hole walled in it just about now. And I sit there and I read God's word. I make it a priority in my life. Now, you may not make it at 5:30 or 5, but at some time, at some point in the day, make it a priority, especially you men, I should say, and you women too, to find your place, find your time, and read God's Word. Now, let me just tell you, it ought to be a good reading, but also I think you ought to read it just through and through. You ought to start at the beginning and read through. Don't just kind of skip around. There's a lot of good things. Let me give you an example. Sometimes read the fun stuff, the good stuff, and sometimes the not so good stuff. You say, what are you talking about? I thought it was all good. Well, it is, but listen to me. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 5 starts out like this. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives. Now, don't get any ideas there. Hela and Naara. And Naara bore Azuma and Hefer and Temeni and Haashatir. And these were the sons of Naara. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Zazor and Ethnan. And Kaz begat Anub and Zobed and the families of Aharel, the son of Haram. You say, oh, hang on. What? That's just one verse. Hang on. Here's the next verse, though. Verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and thou would keep me from evil, that I may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say is, sometimes you get to a point, you say, oh, that ain't worth reading. It is. Just keep on reading, and God will speak to you. Just keep on reading and be faithful, and God will speak to you time and time and time again. You may have read it a ton of times. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible, but I'm telling you what, I'm in the book of Revelation. I'm almost at a stop another time and start again. And every single time, there's always a small or sometimes big nugget of truth that just stands out that I've never saw before. It is God's Word that changes everything about us. And so we ought to read that day by day. It gives us so much direction. Read it to your families and others. Find a way to share Scripture to your children. You might send them a text saying, here's what I've read today, or here's what I'm at today in my Bible reading. And then we ought to recite it from our heart. We ought to share those things. Like the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. That means memorizing. You say, oh, hang on, preacher. I'm a little bit old to memorize. No, you are not. You are not. God's called us to be a people like that. Matter of fact, if you're having trouble, just go to John 11:35, and you can memorize that one. Let me just tell you what it is. Jesus wept. Amen? Even I can memorize that one. But if you don't memorize, Jesus will still keep on weeping. Amen? You just memorize Scripture, and it will change your life. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Memorize Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know the rest of that. How about Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse after verse after verse. How about John 3:16 that we know so well? Romans 10:13. There are multitudes of great verses that we can memorize that will help us and help others. We've just got to do these things, so we can be the fathers that pass those things down. Memorize. I'm telling you, it's like rehab for the mind. I know some people play crossword puzzles and Sudoku puzzles, and there's nothing wrong with that. But mark my words, if you'll start memorizing, it'll be like rehab. It'll do you much better than those things. There's just something about the Word of God that changes your mind when you try to memorize His Word. It also helps you give a ready answer. I mentioned 2 Timothy 4:2 already. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Memorizing the word is kind of like loading your gun with bullets. I'm telling you, at the right time, you may not realize what's fixing to come upon you, but you've memorized this little scripture, and it's just amazing how God lines you up with somebody, and you just spit that word out, and it is the word that they needed to hear. That's a God thing. But unless we do our part, unless we memorize, unless we do those things, we will not be as effective as we should. So the question is, are you getting the Word of God in your life? Are you sharing the Word of God with others? Notice Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. So let me ask again. Are you getting the Word of God in your life? Are you sharing the Word of God to others? If the answer is no, ask the Lord to help you to do both, that the next generation that comes behind us will hear it because they need it like never before. We must share the perfect Word to our families. But secondly, we must show a positive pattern for our families. Verse 5 says, for he established a testimony. And it's amazing what God did. Not only did God give them the word, but then what God said he was going to do, he did. In other words, God says, here's what I'm going to do. And then God simply did as he said he would. And that example is what we follow. God has given us the example that he's a man of his word, and so should we. So if you're going to give scripture and share scripture as you should, we should live it. We back up our words by actions. Matter of fact, have you ever seen somebody that didn't back up their words with action? Have you ever seen somebody that said one thing but really didn't follow through? What a terrible blemish. It's kind of like a teacher who teaches economics, you know, how to make money and the economy, but is poor as dirt. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd follow his economics. Amen? I want somebody successful that has made it and done it to tell me how to manage my money. Well, the same way when it comes to the Word of God. If you're not living out this Word, if you're not fulfilling God's Word, if you're not doing those things, man, you're not going to make a difference. You cannot say, do as I say, not as I do. So the question is, as you call on the name of the Lord and you live for him, are you a changed man from Sunday to Monday? Are you living out your faith not just on the Lord's day, but every day? And if you've been around me very long, you know my little saying, don't be a sainted sailor. You know the sainted sailor, nothing against sailors, but they sing like the saints on Sunday, but swear like the sailors on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We cannot be that way. If we're going to make a difference, we must live for the Lord. We live in a time when it's not so. I'm distraught by those who proclaim from the pulpits on Sunday and live like the heathens. We're in a time of rampant sin in the pulpit and how shameful that is. I'm not perfect by any stretch of imagination. Please don't get me wrong, but I am not pursuing sin. I am not running after sinful things. None of us should. We're going to mess up enough by ourselves, amen, without actively pursuing sin. Let us live a life that when we speak the Word of God, it is sound and true and they respect because we've lived it. You know, the Proverbs writer says this in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he was old, he shall not depart from it. Train up a child. Part of the way you train up a child is to be an example. Matter of fact, Paul said be an ensample. Be something they know and come alongside and understand. We must be that example and live for him. A consistent pattern living for Christ Jesus. So let me tell you, consistency starts with the Spirit of God indwelling in you. You will not live a consistent life outside of Christ. You may make a New Year's resolution. You may try to have a new start. You may try to turn over a new leaf. But without Christ, you will quickly go back. Without that power of Christ in you, changing everything, you'll just be the same old man. We must have Christ in us. And it all starts with this idea of Christ in us and then choosing daily to live for the Lord. Do you remember Joshua? Joshua chapter 24. Joshua had, he was Moses' minister or servant. And so when Moses died, Joshua took over. And he leads the people. They had been wandering around for 40 years. And so they got to the edge of the promised land. Joshua leads the people over the Jordan River into the promised land. And then at the end of his life, he looks at the people and he says, I'm telling you guys, make a choice to serve God. And so here's what his last words were to the people. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Let me read it again. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm telling you, it's a choice every single day to live a consistent life for Christ Jesus. Every single day, that's what Jesus said, pick up my cross daily. Every day, get up and say, today I choose to serve the Lord. And your life will start living like it should be. And so what does that pattern look like? If we're going to be a pattern, if we're going to be something that others can look at, what it should be? Well, one, we should be a man of praise. Psalms 145, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We should be a people of praises and praising the Lord above. So where does that praise begin? Well, in all kinds of places. But let me just talk about a few. Worship every day, but especially on Sundays. Why do I say that? Because a place of worship like this is good to rally not just your family, but other families. And how encouraging it is to see when we come together to honor God as one people. I've often thought, why do people have trouble worshiping together? Why do we have trouble worshiping on the Lord's Day? Why do we have trouble coming to church? Let me just say it that way. Well, there's two main reasons. There's probably a lot, but one, maybe the main reason is we've forgotten what God's done for us. One of the reasons we don't come on the Lord's house and praise Him like we should is because we have forgotten how good God's been to us. Matter of fact, if I think you go to verse 11, it says, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Oh, my friends, we have forgotten the blessings that God has poured out day by day by day by day. Man, like the song says, count your many blessings. If you would truly sit down and start writing out what God has done, hopefully you would recognize and say, hey, praise the Lord, how good He is. Man, we need to recognize that and praise His name. So if you're not praising the Lord, if you're not coming to His house, it may be that you've forgotten what God has done. But secondly, maybe you think the Lord has not done much for you. If you remember that story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 7, verse 45 and following, He goes in this house and sits down, and this woman comes in and starts washing His feet and kissing His feet. Here's the story. Luke 7, 45, He's speaking to the guy afterwards. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil that I not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I tell you why people have a problem going to church, because they think they are good without God. They don't need the Lord. They don't need the church. They don't need these things. They have missed the boat and recognized that they do need the Lord. And so maybe it's the idea of just simply the worship on Sundays have just fallen away because they don't think that they need that. But also I think when we worship on Sundays, it is a witness of His wonderful works. Our children need to hear us praise His name, and they need to see us sing. They need to hear our words. They need to recognize and understand that we surely love the Lord. Let us not forget His works and His marvelous things. Let us praise the Lord in front of our children. You know, praise is simply a recognition of work, of worth. So how often do you praise the Lord in front of your children? Do you remind them that we have what we have because of Him? How often do you praise the Lord around others? Do you know, I picked this up. I don't think Bobby Davis here before, but I picked this up from Bobby. This is good. Have you ever sneezed before and then somebody in the crowd says, bless you? And the response I now give is, God has blessed me much more than I deserve. Amen. Hopefully that is a witness to them that God is good and has surely blessed us. We need to be a people of praise, but also we need to be a man of prayer. Not just around the dinner table, like the old man from Suwanee County said, that ain't getting it done. We need to be a man or a woman of prayer at all times. They should know that their parents will pray for them. It is a good thing when I have a little text message that says, hey, Dad, can you pray for me? Let me tell you, that means a lot. But they need to recognize we will pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. We should surely pray. We should be a man that preaches and teaches to his family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you ought to be a preacher to your family and a teacher to your family. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We got to get the word of God in front of them. I'm so thankful for Marianne, because she surely does that. She puts them a little tablets with the words of God in the cupboard and on the refrigerator. Anytime, anywhere you go, just about, you open up, you look in the mirror in the bathroom, there's the word of God. It is throughout the house. And that's what he's saying there. We should teach our children those things. Always look for a way to teach those things from the Word of God. Are you a man of praise? Are you a man of prayer? Are you a man that preaches and teaches? That's great. But you need to be a man that participates also in the Lord's work. Don't send them to church. Go yourself. Don't send them to do things for the Lord. Do them yourself. Get involved in church. Get involved in Sunday school. Get involved in a ministry. Get involved with a mission at hand. Get involved with other believers. And bring your family with you, not just on special days, so that you can greatly declare how great God is and His wonderful works. By the way, being a positive pattern is not easy. I'm telling you, it is not. I understand that the world's trying to break you down, but I'm telling you, stand firm. Like the Lord says, be that light. Why do this? It's simple, because others are watching. Somebody wrote this little poem. His little arms crept around my neck, and then I heard him say four simple words I cannot forget, four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me. I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. Take a moment today and ask yourself about the pattern God wants you to be. Are you being that pattern? If not, ask the Lord for strength and conviction to be the man of God God has called you to be. Well, here's the last point. We must share the perfect word to our families. We must show a positive pattern for our families. But thirdly, we must have a passion and purpose for our families. Again, verse 6 says that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should praise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Our passion should be to raise a generation of people who will love and trust the Lord and keep His commandments. You say, well, what's the big deal? Why? Well, one, if not, as we've seen in the past, we'll learn from history, the nations that have turned away from God have been cursed. The nations that have turned away from the faithfulness of the Lord has simply went by the waysides. We could call those things cursings. If you read verses 8, it says this, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, that was supposed to be God's people, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. In other words, he speaks about the time that Ephraim, the people of God, got beaten back, got turned back. Why? They left their first love. Jump to verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and an anger also came against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. How about verse 31? The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them. That's the stoutest of the strongest, you could say. And smote down the chosen men of Israel. I'm telling you, if we don't live it by our responsibility, the wrath of God will fall on this place. You think, oh, preacher, you're just preaching that preaching stuff. It's always been so. You read the history of the world. You look back, God's always in control. For those that have sought Him, God has blessed. And for those that have forsaken Him, He has forsaken them and left them through their own means. And it's always been bad. But on the other side, there's blessings. A blessing to be in God's presence, a blessing of His faithfulness to simply follow Him. In verse 12, it says, marvelous things did He in their sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, that's the Red Sea when they parted through, and He caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and in the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought them streams out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. He just reminded them that in the past they had served God, and God had blessed them before they turned away. And God provided for their life. We need to be a faithful people. If not, this generation at hand will simply forsake the Lord. We simply need to trust God and live for His own. So the question is, are you raising up a generation to follow Christ? Are you raising up a generation, men, to lead them in the right way? And you may say, well, I'm doing a good job. I'm providing a living for them. And you should. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, for if any man not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he is denied the faith and worse than an infidel. It is good to make a living for your kids and for your family. You should do that. But that's just one thing God's called us to do. We should provide physically and emotionally and spiritually. Matter of fact, if you only provide physically and you did the best, if you were taking a test, that's a 33. In my book, that's a failure. And so it is in God's eyes. We need to encourage him emotionally and spiritually. We need to be the very best we can for them to raise them up. So how do you do that? I think you know. Spend time with them, listen to them, praise them, reward them, discipline them. Matter of fact, Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loves him chastises him often." And simply tell them, "I love you." You can imagine what that does to those around them if you'll just simply encourage them with words too. Matter of fact, they did a study one time in this school, I think it was in Chicago, and they gathered in the worst kids there were. I mean, they had some rotten ones. I mean, they were bad. And here's what they asked them. When's the last time your parents said, "I love you"? One said, "Well, I think it's 2 or 3 years ago." Another said, "Yeah, it's been several years." Some of them said, I never heard those words. Also in that same class, they found the best kids, the top of the line. They said, "How often has your parents said, I love you? When's the last time?" Almost without fail, they said, "Today, yesterday, or maybe the day before at the most." It makes a difference when we come together as God's people and love our children and tell them so. Help them understand love, which is truly about what God's all about. What does all this do? Let me read verses 6 and 7 again. "That the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to them their children. They might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments." That the generations might know, that they might set their hope or their strength in God. They might not forget the works of God. They may keep his commandments. God's called us to live out our faith. And in doing so, it makes a tremendous difference. Because one day, they're going to stand before an almighty God. And God's going to judge them based on the life they have lived. We should live in such a way that they are ready to meet the Lord. Let me close with a story I told, I think, even last year. It's about a pastor that son was probably just 8 or 9 years old, deathly ill, in the hospital. They'd been praying for this young boy with seems like no reprieve. Finally, the doctors came in and said, "Can I have a word with you?" The pastor goes out, and he says, "Your son's not going to make it, maybe a day or two at the most. You want me to tell him, or would you like to?" And the pastor said, "No, I'm going to talk to my son. I can take care of that." Walks back in, reads some scripture, has a prayer, and then he says, "Son, they tell me that you only have a day or two to live." The pastor knew his heart and knew he was safe in the arms of Jesus, but he said, "Are you fearful to meet the Lord Jesus?" And here's what the little boy said, "No, Dad, not if he's like you. I'm okay." I'm telling you, my friends, we should live for the Lord. It will make all the difference in the world. It will cause others that come behind us to truly know him. You may be here today struggling as a father in this race of life. You may have not been all that you should be to your children, maybe even to your wife or to your heavenly father. Why not start today with a fresh commitment to saying, "I will serve him," and make the generations know that there's a God in heaven? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. I know there's no one perfect. No, not one. But there is a God in heaven that loves us and wants us to be faithful in all things. God has ordained the family precious in his eyes, and we should take it the same way. If you're here today and not been living right, it may be because you never asked the one who makes things right to be your Lord and Savior. Why not get that thing right today? Before you can consistently live for Christ, before you can do anything, you've got to get Christ in your life. And so God's calling them today, first and foremost. Why not walk down and say, "Brother Paul, I need Jesus"? We'll talk more about that. For others of you, you're a strong believer, but somehow you've just kind of lost your way when it comes to raising kids and family. Why not recommit today? Maybe right where you sit, I say, "Lord Jesus, today I need help." He surely will. Maybe it's prayer at this altar for somebody or yourself. Maybe it's church membership today that you want to get your family involved, or you want to be involved to help raise others with the Word of God. This morning, don't miss an opportunity to simply do what God's called you to do. Be on mission for Him as we serve the Lord today. Be a difference maker. Father, we come before you to say thank you for all that you do for us, for your word that gives us hope and peace and life. Thank you for our godly fathers and grandfathers and other godly men that have set the pace for us. Help us, Lord, to recognize our responsibility to follow suit and live for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.